Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus our attention on this Easter morning on the gospel appointed for today, recorded for us in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, recording the events of the very first Easter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed.
"Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you."
Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word we consider. My dear brothers and sisters, celebrating the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. As a whole, we celebrate everything. We love celebrations. I mean, we'll celebrate birthdays, and we celebrate graduations, confirmations, baptisms. We'll celebrate certain days of the year, like the 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day. We'll celebrate all that. We'll celebrate victories on the athletic field, on the basketball court. We celebrate when our team can maybe make it to the Elite Eight or the Final Four. Oh, we celebrate everything. We celebrate freedom. We celebrate health. All sorts of things to celebrate. And yet, when you think about it, there does have to be a reason for celebration, isn't there? There has to be a reason, because we just don't celebrate out of the blue. Somebody asks you, "Well, what are you celebrating?" Nobody ever says, "Well, I don't know. We're just celebrating." Oh, I know. Some positive thinking people might say, "Well, we celebrate every day." And truly, every day, a gift of God. Every day, a day we're celebrating. But we always need something to celebrate. Easter gives us exactly that something to celebrate, because it brings with us the joy of victory. It brings with us the joy of eternity. To fully comprehend the joy of that first Easter, it's good that we follow what Mark has given to us. Mark gives us a very succinct account of the events of Easter morning. And we do know that, well, let's go through that for a little bit. We do know that it had to be a very difficult Sabbath to wait through for the women who were there, for the disciples. I imagine their mind probably wandered a little bit, even as they would have offered their Sabbath prayers, even as they would have considered the blessings that God had provided them. It was difficult to focus, wouldn't you agree? Because all they could remember was what they saw on Friday. His beaten, swollen, bleeding body, hanging there on a cross with criminals on either side of him. Oh, how hard that had to be. How hard it had to be when he breathed his last and he died. He was their leader, their teacher, their Lord, and for many, their Savior. And that was all that they could think about. They could have maybe been thinking about, "Well, what could I do instead? What could I have done to help? How could we have changed the events?" But it would have been to no avail. There were too much powerful, evil people working at this time. Too much evil of Satan trying to thwart the plan of Jesus Christ to be our Savior for them to make any differences. Oh, how they remembered how long that Sabbath must have been. But we are told that when the Sabbath was over, remember their day started at sundown all the time. So about 6 in the evening on Friday through 6 in the evening on Saturday. But right after that, life picked up again. And so we're told that at the end of the Sabbath, the women went and bought oils and spices. and the things that would be done to finish a burial. They weren't excited. They weren't celebrating. No, they were still sad, weren't they? They were going to finish burying their Lord. Finish burying their teacher, Jesus. Oh, that's sad. You can only imagine their feet didn't walk with a great grace like they were dancing through the streets. No, there was a sadness. There was a loss. And then what? Well, we're told they bought these spices and things at the end or at the beginning of the day after the Sabbath was over. But it wasn't until later, right after sunrise, that they decided, let's go to the tomb. That was going to be the first thing. I don't know. We don't hear about them having breakfast or anything like that. We don't know if they did. We don't know the details there. Remember, Mark is very succinct with all this. But he says, right after sunrise, when it would have been light enough for them to go, they went to the tomb. But in their grief, in their sorrow, in their sadness, they really didn't think everything through. We do know that in cases of depression, in cases of sadness, in cases of great loss, people don't always think straight. That's why psychologists tell you don't make any major decisions after a great change in your life, after a great loss, such as this would have been for them. But they hadn't thought it all through. Okay, they bought the spices. We're going to finish anointing him, finish burying Jesus, expecting a dead Jesus, because they saw him die. They saw him taken off the cross. But they didn't think about that stone that had been rolled in front of the tomb. A great stone, or say a large stone. They're not going to be able to move it. They're not going to be able to lift it. They didn't think about that until on the way. Kind of after you think about, do you have the tickets when you're halfway to your destination? They didn't think about it, and then all of a sudden they looked, and you can almost picture it. It's early in the morning. Sun's not fully up. It's not bright, and you can remember how it's kind of shadowed at the time, early morning, and they look in the distance, and they're not quite certain, but the stone's moved. The stone has been rolled away. Their concern and their worry, that was gone. But now what? They said they saw it was moved from the entrance of the tomb. They entered the tomb, and then they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. I give them a lot of credit. I'm not sure I'd have marched right into an open tomb, not knowing what to expect, not knowing what was going on. There were grave robbers at this time. They would open tombs and take anything of value that would have been there. Would they meet them? Would they meet the grave robbers? They didn't check. They went right into the tomb. And they saw a young man. Well, we know from the other Gospels, this is an angel they were seeing. And he was sitting off to the side. Tombs at this time, when they were specially made, like this one would have been made for Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, when they made these tombs, there was a little waiting area in the front. The bodies would be laid on the back wall of the tomb, all wrapped in cloth, almost what you'd call looking like they were mummified with the strips of cloth. And there was a waiting area where you could pay your last respects and do some mourning. It might have been on that very place where the angel was sitting. And oh, they were startled. We're told they were startled. Well, you would be startled. You're going into a tomb, not knowing what to expect, and then somebody says, can I help you? Well, he didn't say that, but they were startled to see him. They were startled, and he says, hey, don't worry. I know why you're here. He says, you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He makes very certain in his words that we're not mistaking that, like you're not at the wrong tomb. You're looking for Jesus. You're looking for the one who was raised in Nazareth. You're looking for the one who was crucified on Friday. I know who you're looking for, but he's not here. He's risen. Go and take a look. See the place where they laid him. Go and take a look, ladies. He's not here. He was giving them a really quick lesson, wasn't he? Didn't Jesus say in 3 days he would rise again? Didn't he promise that he would rise from the dead after 3 days? That was the sign of Jonah, just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days, so also the Son of Man must be in the grave for 3 days. Jesus promised them that. I've always thought it's a little disappointing none of the disciples were there. If they believed him, wouldn't they have been there? Wouldn't they have showed up? Wouldn't they have been the first there? Wouldn't they have maybe even camped out right next to where the soldiers were camped to see it all take place and happen? But then I'm fair. I don't know if I'd be there either. After everything I would have had to take in on that Good Friday to watch him suffer and die and bleed, to see him taken off the cross, and after being wrapped in cloths and spices just laid in the tomb, I could probably still think about the sound of the stone being put into place. I don't know if I'd have been there. I'm going to ask, would you? Would you have been there first thing in the morning? Or would we join in the thinking of the ladies who said, he's dead. He's gone. He's not coming back. Let's finish burying him. You see, that's a sadness, isn't it? When we don't hold God to his promises, when we don't trust in God's promises and what he's got for us. They came. The angel said, look over here. Look where they placed him. He is not there. Why? Because he has risen, just as he said. My folks, the tomb was empty. Jesus didn't have to have the stone rolled away to get out. Stone needed to be rolled away so we could come in. So we could come in with the women of that day to see an empty tomb, to see a resurrection that had occurred, to know that because Jesus lives, we too shall live. Death is the only equalizer of all people in the world. Every race, every color, every creed, anything else, death will strike us all. We're all equal in that term. And Christ defeated death. The one thing we have to fear, that everyone has to fear, death itself, Christ defeated. The grave couldn't hold him. Oh no, 3 days, he rose from the dead. And what do we do about that? Folks, we celebrate. We celebrate because when he said it's finished on the cross, his suffering and death, it wasn't just his suffering and death that was finished, but the task he set out to do, to cover your sins and mine, to forgive every last one of them and leave nothing for us. I've gotten you so far, now you do the rest. No, he did it all. He said it was finished. And his resurrection Easter morning gives us reason to celebrate because death couldn't hold him. Satan himself was defeated with the very words, it's finished. He may have cackled with glee, thinking he had won, and he had lost. Because a short time after, Jesus would come to life. And the one thing that Satan held over each one of us for an eternity was death itself. And we don't have to be afraid of it. Take a look where he was. He's not there. He's risen. And we celebrate. We celebrate the faith he has worked in our hearts. We celebrate the gift of everlasting life. To know that while we're only here for a short period of time, Christ lives. And he lives on high. There making intercession for you and me. There when Satan would accuse us of all the wrong that we've ever done and all the times we've disobeyed God, Jesus says, but I did it all for them. Satan, you have nothing against them. I did it all. Oh, that's worth celebrating, isn't it? That's a victory. A victory which, you know, we've celebrated these kind of victories before. You don't necessarily play on the basketball court or on the football field or on the sports field of any sort. And yet, if your team is out there and they do all the work and they put in all the sweat and the toil and they win the game, we won! That's what we say because of Jesus. We won because Jesus lives. Now, what do we do with that celebration? Is it just a momentary thing? We get up early on an Easter morning to go and celebrate, to get together with family and friends. We have people gather. Yeah, we can do that. So then someone asks you, well, what are you celebrating? We're celebrating life and eternity. We're celebrating faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. We're celebrating the victory that Jesus has won for us. But there's more, isn't there? What are we going to do from now as the celebration begins, to the time we go to glory, to be with Christ. Notice what the angel told the women. Take a look at the place. See where he was. Now you go and tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. It's kind of fascinating, isn't it? They're still startled and amazed. I mean, this is a lot to take in. This is information overload in many ways, isn't it? That Jesus is alive. We were coming to finish burying him. He's alive. Where is he? I don't see him. And now you go and tell. Tell the disciples and Peter. I'm just going to pause just a minute here. Focus on Peter for a moment. Peter had denied Jesus, even though he was warned he was going to do it. Even though it was just a little servant girl at the door who says, yes, you're one of his disciples. And he denied and cursed and swore that he didn't know him. He denied Jesus. And yet when the angel sends the women out to go and get the disciples, go get my disciples, his disciples, and get Peter too. Forgiveness is waiting for Peter. Forgiveness is there. Peter went out and wept bitterly. He knew he had failed. Jesus was going to include him in the group again. Jesus was going to bring him back and know that what he did on the cross was for Peter too. Now you women, you go and tell the disciples. He'll go in front of you to Galilee, just as he promised he would. Now we're told, they said nothing to anyone, they went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. We're told they were trembling and bewildered, and they fled. That's a lot to take in, isn't it, folks? They had spent a weekend, you might say, Friday through the Sabbath, rehearsing everything that had happened, going through it in their mind, all these events. And now, it's not at all what they had thought. It's not at all what they had figured. We know in the other Gospels, Jesus will appear to the women, and they will see him. And they will go and talk to the men. It's a good thing that we note that he sent the women to go and tell the disciples. At this time, it wasn't right that society as such was operating this way. But women were not considered valid witnesses. Their message wasn't going to be accepted. But yet they were told to go and tell the disciples, tell the men what you've seen, what you witness now. And they were maybe a little afraid of that too, weren't they? How can we tell them that Jesus is alive? How can we tell them all this wonderful thing? They're not going to believe us. Oh, but eventually they did tell. Eventually, even all the disciples got to see the risen Savior. And they were comforted to know that everything Jesus had promised had come true. That's the way it is with God's promises, you know. That's what we get to celebrate. What has God promised us? The forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. That's God's promise to you. And what do the disciples find out? That God keeps his promises. He keeps every one of them. And one day soon, he will come to take us to be with him in glory everlasting. And when that day comes, we don't have to leave with trembling and bewilderment. We don't have to run out and flee away. Oh no, we pray, come Lord Jesus. We're excited because we know Jesus, who once died on the cross, is alive. Our Savior is alive. He comes to the Father on our behalf. We don't have to go any other way. We go right to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need help. Jesus, I need strength. Jesus, take me through this difficulty. Jesus, thank you for taking away my guilt and my burden and setting me free. Oh, reason to celebrate, wouldn't you think? Reason to celebrate all that God has done for us. Celebrations are great. Very often, celebrations are about victory. Made it another year, won another game, won another championship, whatever it might be. But the greatest celebration of all is the one in the presence of Jesus Christ with all his holy angels around. As we step into his presence and know we don't have to be bewildered, trembling, or afraid, we are his. He lives for you and me. My dear friends, yes, today, good day to celebrate. But every day is a celebration of God's grace and mercy to each of us. And it's a celebration we shouldn't keep to ourselves. I'd say we can maybe listen to what the angel said. Oh, I know, we're not going to find the 12 disciples or 11 disciples here. But go and tell the good news so that everyone gets the joy of celebrating a Savior in Jesus Christ. Ah, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Worth celebrating. Amen. And now may the peace that comes from our risen Savior Jesus Christ ever keep your hearts and minds in that true faith till we stand with him in glory everlasting. Amen.